Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lesson 56 of Soul School. Before I get started, I wanted to ask you for a favor. I'm coming to the end of the year for 2016, and I'm in a bit of a financial shortfall for the show. If you could donate at sparkmymuse.com, $5 or $10, that will help out so much to make sure I end the year without debt. And I would really appreciate it. If you've ever gotten anything out of the show, and if the show means anything to you, it would really help if you donated just a few dollars. Thank you so much. Today, I'm going to cover identity crisis. And we talk a lot about midlife crisis or quarter life crisis. And the thing I've noticed so much in the last 10 years or so is that these crises come up a lot more frequently than I think they used to. And I have some ideas as to why, and I have some thoughts about it. And I think that there is some light I can shed on that and for the path right in front of you. Not so much for the path way down the road, but I think that you'll get something out of it. Essentially, we are a complicated species, and our ability to think consciously and be aware that we're aware can really put us into some turmoil when it comes to identity. And identity is something that we will wrestle with our whole lives. So if you're in a quarter-life crisis or something like that, don't think that you're going to get it resolved. Our identity shifts throughout our whole lives. And every time our lives are punctured by a major transition, we will usually wrestle with our identity. The things that puncture our lives, anything that punctures our lives, creates an awakening. Anything that creates changes or shifts in our lives can cause these identity crises. So that a change in work, a change in roles, single to dating, or from dating to marriage, or from being without children to a parent situation, or from going from not taking care of your parents to more of parenting your parents because they're getting older, or going from being healthy to being sick. Any major shift can change your identity quite a bit because our identity is based on a lot of things we don't tend to think of. So there are four things that tend to shape our identity that we're not usually aware of. Those things are choices, memory, relationships, and circumstances. And I'll go into those right now in a little more depth. So we don't tend to think of choices as affecting our identity directly. But essentially they do. And it's because we have agency and free choice, at least as we perceive that to be, we can choose our identity based on these choices. So for instance, we can choose to work at a job or further our education. So we can go from being an employed person to being a student. And all of a sudden there's a shift. We go from doing the daily grind, getting up, going to work, coming home, to being a student and taking in a lot of information and being under somebody's authority as a student and learning from a teacher. There's a lot of different obligations and there's a shift there. And we can go through kind of a crisis of identity and wondering what should we do next with our lives. When we're in a working situation, there might be a drudgery there, and we can wonder, is this all I'm supposed to be doing, or am I just an employee, and what is my place as a cog in this company? From there, we might shift our identity to doing our passions or hobbies or some other thing in the world like volunteer work and trying to make the world a better place. Just that one choice can make this huge identity shift. The second one is memory. Or experience. They're really one and the same when it turns into this identity issue. What we don't realize about our identity is so much is based on our memories. Our experiences growing up in a certain region shape our identity and who we think we are, whether it's a racial identity, an ethnic identity, a socioeconomic identity. Imagine if we were suddenly rendered with no memory at all. Who would we be? We could just start over. But our experiences and our memory shape the person we think we are. But think about this for a second. It's all essentially a construct. We think of our identity and are based on our experiences as real, But technically, we could just start over, couldn't we? We could just pick up and start over. A lot of people think that things like socioeconomic issues and race issues and geographic issues are these set in stone things. And sometimes they feel like they are in such powerful ways, and I'm not trying to diminish those things at all. But if you pick up and move to another part of the world, you can sort of start over almost. You can recreate something. And because you can recreate yourself in a different part of the world, or you can start in a place where you can take your American money and turn it into another kind of money that can buy you so much more cost of living wise, you realize what a construct those things actually are. And who you are in a certain part of the United States, for instance, can be completely different if some of those identity markers are stripped away, some of those roles or some of those things are stripped away. What can happen is the blinders of where you've been raised and how you've been raised and under what conditions you've been raised, your memories can really taint who you think you are. But what if those were suddenly gone? You could start over. Identity has so much to do with these hidden influencers of our memories and experiences. Thirdly, relationships. The people you're with shape who you are. If you start associating with different people, you become a different person. Now, this might not seem so obvious because we consider ourselves autonomous and independent. There's a going phrase that goes around that you are the average of the five people you hang out with the most. I think that's a really powerful statement. It's especially true the more susceptible you are to influence, the younger you are and the more formative you are in your years. If you take a kid and you put him with a bunch of kids that are a lot smarter than him, he changes. If you take a girl and you put her with a bunch of kids who are doing a lot of destructive behaviors, she'll change. Try to not always be the smartest person in your group. Make sure you put yourself with people who you consider more virtuous than you, smarter than you, who are doing exciting, inventive things, because they will pull you up. If you are the most put together person in your group, you're not trying hard enough. So your identity is totally shaped by the people you surround yourself with. If your family members are holding you back and they're the closest people in your life, you are shaped by them and your identity is shaped by them. They might be holding you back. Maybe they're pushing you forward. Whatever it is, your relationships, your closest ones, family and friends, and the other influences in your life deeply, deeply shape who you are. And when those relationships shift and change, you can also go through a deep and powerful identity crisis, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. So it's something to consider as you find yourself in a point of identity crisis or an identity shift. It might be because of those relationships are shifting. The fourth thing is circumstances. This is pretty obvious because maybe you're in a situation, maybe you had a house fire, let's say, and your circumstances of your home have changed. Or it could be that you've recently undergone a move or a job change. If your circumstances have changed, your identity might change as well. And this just is how life works. Sometimes these four things shift and change, and we don't realize, why am I feeling like I don't know who I am anymore? But we don't realize that the underpinnings or the foundation of our lives are actually shifting beneath our feet. Or it might be very obvious to us that these things are shifting, but we still don't know what to do about it. And we feel very, very unsettled and we're not sure which way to go. This is one of the reasons why I wrote the book called Forked, A Discernment Pocket Guide for Choosing Between Two Good Things. It's because there are so many forks in the road and some of them help us determine our identity. I've written several books, and if you go on Amazon.com and put in Lisa DeLay, you'll find them. I hardly ever talk about the books I've written on this podcast, but because this relates directly to choosing a path and making choices, I thought I'd mention it here. You can also find it if you search the website at Spark My Muse. All these things play a part when we have a loss of meaning or purpose in our life, and they accentuate the identity crisis even further. Some of the things you can do is to hold on a little more loosely to your identity. Don't feel like you have to spring into action and find out who you really are. Remember that labels often help other people understand you more than they will help you understand yourself. You might be easily drawn to a label to make it easier on yourself. Doesn't mean that it will be easier to define who you are, because a label is inherently limiting and can inherently cause more confusion than bring clarity. If you decide that you're a vegetarian, for instance, and this is going to become part of your identity, you've decided you're not going to eat meat because of an ethical issue and you're going to only eat vegetables, and you're going to make this a big part of your identity. You're going to change your Twitter bio. You're going to tell your family and friends. You're going to really stick to your guns. And that's it. Suddenly, this has become a label and an identifier, and you see yourself as a really morally upstanding person and a vegetarian. You've put that label on yourself. What you've also done is defined your life with this small label instead of maybe decided to live by your values. So what are your values behind that label? Your values behind that label are probably to treat animals kindly. And that is a better value, perhaps, for you than to abstain always from meat. By adding that label, you've actually made it a lot harder on yourself. One of the things you can do in an identity crisis is define the values behind the labels you're tempted to slap on yourself too soon. So we're really quick sometimes to give ourselves labels to make clarity for ourselves in our new identity or our changing identity. I think this is actually a trap, but because we're so insecure in a time of shifting identity, we will sometimes quickly grab a label. Maybe progressive is the label you want if you're going from evangelical to something more liberal sounding or something more fluid spiritually. But to quickly grab the progressive label is to also sort of say you're throwing out all the other things. But is that really true? Have you really examined everything? I'm very reticent to grab labels because I think that they don't really help me. They help other people decide if they're on in my tribe or not. But I wonder if that's actually a way to build barriers instead of bridges. Usually I try to assume that I'm on the person's side who I'm speaking to. And it tends to be that I usually am. What is so curious, though, is that I wind up having fantastic, engaging, and enriching dialogue with people all over the map. The most conservative, beautiful, lovely Christian people that are so strict in their reading of the Bible, they will only read the King James Version with these and thous, and they think that's the only Bible they should read. And I have the most enriching, beautiful, lovely conversations with the most strident atheists you'd ever imagine. And I love them just as much because they are beautiful. And what I've noticed is by not deciding my label and putting that out first, I can see the goodness in people that I interact with first and not see the label first and not tell people my label, which I hope to not really hold very tightly. What I want to hold more tightly than my label is my values. And what I value is dialogue and finding the common thing and learning from other people and being very curious about other people. Because if I'm willing to be curious and willing to learn, I'm willing to grow and not get stuck in some sort of rut. And life is so much more beautiful that way. When you have your mind made up, you really stop looking around. You really stop sucking the marrow out of life. Once you have your mind made up, it is kind of a slow death. And so if you're in an identity crisis, my encouragement to you is don't worry. You're going to be in an identity crisis a whole bunch of times in your life. We live in a time where we have so much information coming at us that it punctures our timeline. And we awaken to who we are many, many times during our life because of all the change and the shifts that happen with work, with relationships, with ideas, and all kinds of things coming at us. Don't worry about your identity and who you are. And it is a much more joyful way to live. One thing you can do is define some of your main core values. So write some of them down. This will be your homework for Soul School. I try to challenge the listeners of Soul School with homework. If you want to share what your homework is, and that will help you be more accountable, you can go to facebook.com/sparkmymuse and write down some of your core values. You shouldn't impose them on other people. These are just personal. But for instance, one of my core values is valuing other people and what they have to teach me and what they have to say. It doesn't mean I have to agree with them, but it means I have to value them because they are human just like me. We all have this in common. We all have consciousness in common. When you do that, you sort of wind up falling in love with people. Yeah, everybody has their problems and the things that you might not like about them. And so do I. But one of my values is to try to meet people where I can. And I've been given so many gifts that way. Really, a lot of my values for me, because of my cultural context and my memory and experience, relate to the fruit of the Spirit. If you're from a Christian context, you'll know what that means. But it's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These are kind of things that Paul says, against these things there is no law. If I'm going to be acting those ways to people, no one's going to be upset about that, right? And so those are values that I try to help guide my life. Doesn't mean I'm always going to do them, but those are some values of how I want to act toward people in general. And when I hold those values most dear, the other things I can hold loosely. And I don't have to worry about them as much. And I don't have to worry about what my particular role or identity is as much. If you hold your core values dearly, you can pivot on the other things. And so that is my hope and blessing and gift to you. And I hope you find that helpful. If this episode has been at all good for you, I hope you'll pass it on. And if you want to support my work at all and what I'm doing and you think it's been beneficial, I hope you might contribute a couple dollars, maybe five or so, at sparkmymuse.com using the PayPal link. It would really help out a lot. Thank you so much for listening.